Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. Now we're going to say defending Islam against the stereotypes. People who raise doubts about Islam by stereotypes.
Now that you guys are all older, eighth graders, and practically wearing the hijab, we're soon to be, I hope. Even if you say that you're in high school, it's coming up, so you need to defend yourself.
Are you going to sit right here? I want to keep taking them. Okay. Listen. I don't know where are the rest of the girls.
Reply
to stereotypes about Islam.
I was trying to see if I can borrow anybody to teach.
Oh, take Lina.
Yeah, you.
Come.
Hey, Bisha.
Lina.
Defending Islam against the stereotypes.
Can you guess?
Islam
is not in this class.
10th grade?
Sophomore.
9th grade?
Islam replies to stereotypes about Islam. Islam spread by four.
You're a 10th freshman? You're a freshman.
Okay.
Lena, you're a freshman.
Okay, Islam is spread by sword. Islam is a violent religion. Islam spread by sword. Hello. Islam spread by sword. Islam spread by sword. Islam is a violent religion.
So that is the first stereotype you guys are gonna hit.
Okay. On what basis they make this statement? Why? What made them say Islam spread by the sword, by violence? Huh? Exactly. Taliban. Huh? They think of Taliban and 9/11. Huh? 9/11. What else?
ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden. Huh?
Yeah, I want to know the real story about
that. Yeah, everyone keeps saying that there was like some weird interview that he was like, he wants to thank his wife, his family, Selena Gomez. I know. It was very...
Wait, can we actually know the real story?
I'll tell you what I know about it, but I don't know other than what the media says.
Yeah.
But anyway, back into the subject here. Because of the wars that Islam went through to expand and all of these things. Now, how do we reply to this? Is every war bad?
No.
Yes.
No. There is something called war of defense.
Yeah, like Martin Luther King's silent war, that's like a good war, but like...
It doesn't work. It doesn't work all the time.
So what about like the Queen of Sheba and then that war?
Yeah, but you're talking about the life of human, the history of humans are full of wars. The good war is the war of defense. The war of defense. People have the right to defend themselves. Okay? All right. There's just war and unjust war. The just war is the war that people are defending themselves. Every nation has the right to defend itself against someone who's invading it. So now, what is the difference between occupation and liberation? You know, you hear the media, we liberated Iraq. We liberated Afghanistan. We liberated. Okay. What is the difference between liberation and occupation? Muslims and the early Muslims, the Prophet, for example, say, we liberated this place, we liberated Mecca, and his followers, we liberated Iraq, we liberated Syria. Okay. So one has to be wrong. Is it liberation or occupation? What's the difference, in your opinion, between? Huh? Thoughts? What's the difference between occupation and liberation? Huh? Okay. If the country you're invading, if you make the country you're invading better than your own homeland, better or equal to your own homeland, then this is called liberation. But if you made it worse than what it was, then you make it, this is called occupation. You got it? Okay. So, you look at the people, like for example, Iraq. Before the invasion of Iraq and after the invasion of Iraq, is Iraq better or worse? Worse. Iraq is much, much, much worse when it was under the ruling of Saddam Hussein. Much worse. Chaos, bombing, roadside bombing, infrastructure. All the infrastructure of Iraq has been bombed. Almost all of them. Iraq is 300 years backward. 300 years. No, you mean that 300 years backward in civilization. Why? Because all these infrastructures that has been blown up, okay, are gone. And they, when it has been built in 300 years. So basically you send Iraq backward 300 years. This is called occupation. Why? Because Iraq became worse. Iraq became worse than what it is. Okay. How about the Muslim wars? The Muslim wars. Or the wars at the beginning of Islam, the centuries. Is it a occupation or liberation? Liberation. Why? Huh? Based on what I just said. Why the wars of Islam are called liberation, not occupation? Anybody?
Because liberation makes it better.
Makes it better. Yes. Islam, Muslims, when they go into a land, they make the land better than their own homeland. They make it much better than their own homeland. Somebody will ask you to prove that. There is a life proof for that in today's world. Which country that I can prove to people that Islam made the country it went to better than what it was before? What? Not Kent. Muslims did not occupy Mecca. I'm saying, what are the countries when Muslims invade Spain? Why did you pick Spain? Exactly. And then you can see that today. Go ahead.
Turkey,
yeah. But I want to focus on Spain. Why? Because when you go to Spain, you find a lot of architecture, ancient architecture, built by Muslims in Spain. So I can easily say Muslims made Spain, which is Andalusia at their time, Muslims made Spain better than their own homeland, right? The civilization, the structure that you see in Spain, okay, you don't see in Mecca or Medina. So Muslims made the countries they went into better than their own homeland. Then this is what? Liberation. This is liberation. Okay. Another point, that's first point, which is that difference between liberation and occupation. Another point is Indonesia. Who knows Indonesia? All of you guys know? How many Muslims does it have? 200 million Muslims. 200 million Muslims. 200 million Muslims. Those 200 million Muslims, how did they come to Islam? A through war. B, through trading. A or B? By trading. There was absolutely no war at all. No war at all. At all. No war whatsoever that brought Islam to Indonesia. So 200 million Muslims came to Islam in Indonesia without any war. Now, tell me why. Because they were wowed about Islam. This is the truth. When Islam goes into a country, people are wowed about Islam. In Indonesia, trading. You know the story of the Indonesia? Okay. The Muslim merchants went into Indonesia, and they started selling and buying. When they sell or buy, they sell things with very cheap prices, and they don't take interest, and they loan things to people, and loan money to people and give people, when you pay, they make sure they get your fair share. They were so honest. They were so honest and they were so generous.
No, it says other people become, it's became.
Where?
On the bottom.
When it's on the bottom.
Okay. You know what the story in Indonesia? That's, by the way, a big catch. When you catch somebody who says Islam spread by violence, tell them about Indonesia. Indonesia did not, 200 million Muslims did not come to Islam by violence at all. So when we say that, Indonesia, what's the story for Indonesia coming to Islam? So what's the reason people are coming to Islam? By force or by being wowed about what Islam had to offer?
Being wowed.
Being wowed, being impressed. Islam, when you impress someone, Islam comes into his or her heart. Okay? Now, Indonesia, the merchants, Muslim merchants went into Indonesia. They were so generous and so honest. Okay? So the people, the other merchant people, they felt mad because the Muslims were getting all the business. And they were getting out of business. Nobody's buying from them. Everybody's buying from the Muslims. Because they are honest and generous. And they give more. And they give the charity. And they give the cash. So they went to the king. They went into the king of Indonesia. And they told him, look at these strangers. They are taking business from us. And we are getting out of business. Those strangers, They come from outside, and we, the local people, are out of business because of them. So, please, kick them out of the country. This is what they told to the king. The king said, okay, let me hear from them. Right? Because the fair king will always hear what?
Both sides.
Right? The Umar al-Khattab says, if you have a man coming to you with one hand complaining about another who cut his hand, okay? Don't judge before you hear the other side of the story. The other side of the story might be that this guy has cut two of his hands. Okay? So, hear the other side of the story. So, he brought them. And the people who speak on their behalf said, those are generous people. They sell with very small profit margin, and they give a lot in the charity, and they are so generous. So people are attached to them, and people buy and sell from them. But, so the king said to the merchants who came to complain, the local merchants who came to complain about the Muslim merchants, he said, you want to have business like them? Be like them. Be like them. You want to have business like them? Be like them. Copy them. See what they do and do the same if they want to stay in business and don't get out of business. And then Indonesia became a Muslim country this way because people were wild about Islam. So let's say about the sword. The sword opens a heart or opens a land? Huh? The sword opens the land. Can I force you in Islam? Can I force you to become a Muslim? Anything in Islam that comes by force is nullified. Okay? Is rejected. For example, if I force you to sign a contract. This is like do like them. The king said do like them to stay in business. He told the local merchants, be like the Muslim merchants, so that you don't go out of business. Okay, can I put the sword on your neck and say, if you don't become a Muslim, I will cut your hand? Is this valid?
No.
If I say you have to sign this contract, is it valid?
No.
anything that comes by force is invalid. That's right.
But when Prophet Solomon was like with the Queen of Sheba, he said like something like either like turn your nation into Muslims and like stop worshiping the sun.
Oh, not okay. The leadership. He's after the leadership. If the leadership is a Muslim leadership, okay, then this is what the Muslims are after. After the leadership, because the leadership is one that slaves the people. So Muslims want to liberate the people. So they take over the leadership from the tyrants and oppressants. You know what I'm saying? So King Sulaiman was talking about leadership because the leadership is misleading the people. So when the leadership got straightened and they become good Muslims, many of the people became good Muslims. Because if the leadership becomes an Islamic leadership, many of the people will become Muslims because they will see Islam and they will be wowed about Islam. And they will become Muslim. They will be impressed about Islam and become Muslims. The leadership, not the people. So the leadership, you have to give up. Basically, Islam says you give up leadership so that people can be liberated. What was you with? Yes, by force is not accepted. So the sword opens a land, not a heart. In other words, the empire expanded by the sword. The empire expanded by the sword. But Islam expanded by people are impressed about it. The reason that people are impressed about it. You understand? So the land is used to expand the what? I'm sorry, the sword is used to expand the what? The land. Okay? The sword is used to increase the empire. The sword is used to increase the empire. The Islam itself is spread by people being wowed about it, being people impressed. You understand? So the sword is to expand the empire. The empire, the Islam came to the hearts of the people. Many people didn't become Muslims. Like, in Egypt, for example, we have about 5% of people not Muslims. Many of us, the only country in the world that I know is 100% Sunni Muslims is Somalia. I'm not aware of any other country that doesn't have any other than Sunni Muslims except Somalia. Not even Shia Muslims, just pure Sunni Muslims, Somalia. This is the only country that I know this about. All other countries, they have Muslims and non-Muslims. And they have Muslims, Sunnis, and Shia. Okay? Go ahead.
Wait, so Somalia has like no non-Muslims?
Yes. No non-Muslims.
Is that only Muslims?
Yes, 100% Muslim Sunnis.
Wait, they only allow it?
No, people are like that.
Oh,
people
Somalia
are all
Sunnis. Just Sunni Muslims?
Yes, 100%.
So you're saying like...
Other than that, all other places in the world, including Saudi Arabia, it has non-Muslims, it has, and it has Christians and Jews. And so in Egypt, we do have that. Now, did we destroy the churches of the non-Muslims? No, we didn't destroy the churches. If somebody says yes, then we take that person to visit the Church of Nativity, for example. To visit the churches in the Middle East. These churches are, some of them are 2,000 years old. You understand? 2,000 years old. Church has been living 2,000 years. The Muslims never closed any of those churches or destroyed them. In the Islamic Sharia, there is a place for non-Muslims living under Muslim rulership. Okay? Non-Muslims, they have rights. Living under rulership, they have rights. Okay? So, that's an argument against the ones who say that Muslims, when they came into Egypt, they forced everybody to be a Muslim. No, people were impressed, so people became Muslims because they are impressed. Evidence, we have all kinds of religion over there. And we have very old churches and synagogue nobody touched. Okay. I'll tell you the story about what happened during Umar ibn al-Khattab. At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was the second Khalifa, or the second king, or the second ruler, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was number two. Number one was Abu Bakr, that's right. And number two was Umar ibn Abi Talib. During the time of Umar, when Egypt was liberated, Amr ibn al-As was sent to be the governor of Egypt. Amr ibn al-As, I don't know if you know him or not, but he is known that he was the governor of Egypt. If you want to know something about him, he was the governor of Egypt. So his son was racing with the son of a Coptic guy. Okay? His son was racing with a man, Coptic man. They were racing in what? And horses, durgan, 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 durgan. So who won the race? The Coptic man, he won the race. Guess who got mad? The son of Amr ibn al-As, because he lost the race. And then he picked up a stick and he hit the guard. And he said, how dare you to beat the honorable one? The son of the honorable people. The son of the honorable people. And he hit him, okay? So the Coptic guy knew that Umar ibn Khattab is a fair king. So he traveled all the way from Egypt to Medina, where Umar ibn Khattab is. And he complained to him. He said, that guy, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, I won the race, so he hits me and says, how dare you defeat the son of the honorable people? So Umar ibn Khattab got, you know him, he's very tough. One of the things that you know Umar ibn Khattab is very tough. Tough, not soft, like Abu Bakr, no, very tough. And he said, please stay with us. So he accommodated him, and then he sent to the Amr ibn al-As and his son to be brought in chains. So they were brought in chains. Amr ibn al-As, the father, and his son. Okay, so they came to him. So Umar ibn al-Khattab gave his stick to the Egyptian Coptic guy and he said, hit the son of the honorable people, hit him. So he hit him and he said, no, that's not enough, hit him hard. So he hit him hard. He said, give him more. He said, no, this is enough. He said, okay, now it's the turn of his father, Amr ibn al-As. Give him, hit him. He said, no, I hit only the ones who hit me. He said, Umar Khattab said, this guy hit you because he was protected by his father. He was the son of the governor. So he had an authority to hit you because he's the son of the father, of the ruler. Okay? Of the ruler of Egypt. If he wasn't the son of the ruler, okay, he wouldn't hit you and say that. So Amr ibn al-As, the ruler, deserved to be hit. So the Coptic guy said, no, I only hit what I... I only hit the ones who hit me. In Islam, the people, there is called the people of al-dhimma. In Islamic Sharia, called the people of al-dhimma. Okay. The people of al-dhimma are the non-Muslims living in Muslim land. They have their own courts, separate from the government, Muslim government court. And they have their own courts, and they have their own religious places. Nobody interferes with them. Nobody bothers them at all. Okay? Now, this didn't happen before. Before, Egypt wasn't like that. There was no justice in Egypt. The Romans are Roman Catholics. The Romans, they used to come to Egypt, okay, and occupy Egypt, impose taxes, heavy taxes, and burden people with heavy taxes, and take the taxes and send it back to Rome. Okay? And they used to torture the Egyptian Coptic priests. Why? Why would the Roman Catholics come and torture the priests of the Coptic Christian religion? Huh? Exactly. They are torturing them to convert into Catholic Romans. What's the difference between, anybody knows the difference between Coptic faith and Catholic? No, Roman Catholic? Okay. It's about the nature of Jesus. About the nature of who? Jesus. The Roman Catholic, they say that Jesus was in a human form. Jesus came in a human form. He was a human when he was on earth. The Coptic church says no. He was God on earth. He's God on earth. Why? Because they say the human part, okay, the human part relative to the God, the divinity part or being God part, is so much, is like zero to infinity. Okay, so he was never human. He was never human. Even though he was walking among us, but he wasn't human. Because being God would override being human. You understand? So the Roman Catholic guy says, no, being God does not override being human. The Coptic says, no, being God will override being human. You understand? So the Romans want them to convert into Roman Catholic. So they bring their priests and they hang them from the ceiling. And then they put candles under them. Candles. And the candle cooks them. You can smell the priest, fat priest, is sweating, and the sweat is falling onto the fire. It creates a smell like barbecue smell. So it's like they are barbecuing the Catholic. They are barbecuing the Catholic, the Coptic Egyptian. Now when Islam came, those people were honored, those people were respected. Islam did not interfere with their faith, and they left with full protection and full rights. Now, some people in the media, they come to you and say, okay, Islam is a violent religion because of Bin Laden and 9/11. You share the same religion like Bin Laden, right? Yes. Then Islam is a violent religion because look at Bin Laden, he's a Muslim. Look at the ones who did 9/11 attacks, they were all Muslims. Okay? So Islam is a violent religion. I was told this once when I was the speaker of Fresno Islamic Center back after 9/11. A journalist came and she was telling me that. So I said, no, actually, Bin Laden proved that Muslims are peaceful. She was like, huh? Bin Laden proves that Muslims are peaceful? What are you talking about? So I said, Bin Laden and his group, estimate how many they are. How many? Bin Laden and his group, how many? So she said, maybe 10,000, 15,000. I said, yes, right. Let's say 15,000. And how many Muslims are on earth? 1.5 billion, which is 1,500 million. Huh? 2,300 billions. Can you do the math? Divide 1,500 by 2,300. I'm sorry, divide 15 by 2,300. 2,300. 15 divided by 2,300. What do you get? 1 point what? Or
wait,
what?
2,300.
Divided, no, 15 divided by 2,300.
15 or 15?
15, 1.5 divided by 2,300.
It's 1,500.
Huh? What did you get?
Zero, zero.
Point zero zero six. Let's say 0.007. So it means that 7% 0.7%.
Yes.
So what do you see here? 0.7% are not like Bin Laden. I'm sorry. Bin Laden and his group is 0.7%. 0.7%. Okay? Is it 0.007 or have more zeros?
There's three zeros and then six.
Three zeros.
Three zeros.
That three zeros is right.
Yeah.
So Muslims, only 0.07% Muslims are like that. 0.07%. Which means that 99.993 are peaceful. You see the argument here? Numerical argument. I said the ratio of Bin Laden to Muslims is 0.0007, which is 0.07%. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This means that 99.993% of Muslims are not like that. So Muslims are doing really well. If it's 99.993, she said she laughed, and then I told her, in other words, the Bin Laden and his group is not the norm; it is the exception. And then I went further in the logic, and I said the exception would prove the rule to be right. Okay, the exceptions would not prove that the rule is false. You got it? Why? Can you tell me why? I'm saying exception. You don't use exception to judge a group, okay? Exceptions of the rule will prove that the rule is correct. Huh? Why? Logic. Because if there is no rule, there will be no exception, right? You got that part? Exception would prove that the rule is correct, because if there is no exception, there will be no rule, right? Now, can we use this 0.007% or 0.07% and judge the rest of the people using the 0.07%? So that's why Islam is, Bin Laden proves that Islam is, Muslims are peaceful guys. Okay. Another example. They say Islam kills non-Muslims. Islam kills non-Muslims. Muslims kill non-Muslims. So when somebody told me that, I said, okay. In Islam, there is a surah. In the Quran, there is a surah number 5. Surah number 5 is Surah Al-Ma'idah, the dining table. And ayah number 5, see, nice. Surah 5, ayah 5. Guess what it talks about? It talks about Muslim men being allowed to marry from the people of the book, Christians and Jews. Okay? So if the Muslim is allowed to have his wife, the most beloved person to him on earth, the mother of his children, okay? If he's allowed to have this, and she is a Christian woman, okay, or a Jewish woman, can you come up with any more tolerance than that? What is more tolerance than allowing a Muslim to have a non-Muslim wife from the people of the book? Can't have more tolerance than that. If I can have a non-Muslim wife, then I can have a non-Muslim neighbor. Then I can have a non-Muslim friend. You understand that?
Huh?
For what? For men, yes. Because the man of the house has an advantage on the house. There is a problem, by the way, here. In Islam, the non-Muslim wife is protected by chapter 5, verse 5, right? She's protected. She has rights. Okay? Chapter 5, verse 5. Right? Other than Islam, and outside of Islam, there is no verse to protect the Muslim woman, the rights of a Muslim woman. So if a Christian man marries a Muslim woman, okay, there's nothing in the Bible that protects the Muslim woman. There's nothing in the Bible that protects. There's no verse 5, ayah 5. So the man of the house will have an advantage, and the man of the house, if he's a good Christian, he would divorce his wife because he's not allowed by the church to have a a wife, not from Muslims, from even another denomination. So Catholics, there was one of my friends, he was a Catholic and his wife was Protestant. Okay.
What's
so
that?
Protestant is like
it's not the exact opposite.
They Protestant is basically coming from the word protest. So Protestant. Those are a group of people who protested against the Catholic Church. Okay? And then they removed 7 books from the Bible. So the Catholic Bible has 7 books more than the Protestant Bible. You understand? And then they changed a lot of things. So when somebody is tells you that somebody is Lutheran, that's Protestant. Somebody is Southern Baptist, that's a Protestant. Somebody is Baptist, it's Protestant. Okay? So all these other relations, except Mormons, these are called Protestants. Okay? So a Catholic wife and the husband is Protestant. Yes, and the husband is Protestant. They went to the Catholic priest to marry them. The Catholic priest apologized to the biggest man and said, no, I can't, because God does not approve this kind of a marriage. So they said, fine. They went into the Protestant priest. The Protestant priest said, no, sorry, I can't get you married because God does not approve this kind of marriage. Guess what they did?
They got married themselves.
They went, yeah, they got married by the court. You know, like permission from the court, legal paperwork.
Yeah.
So they just did the legal paperwork. And I think they go to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is the place where you marry very easy, without any conditions. They just get you married. You want to marry, you're married. And they give you the certificate of marriage, which is valid in Nevada and other than Nevada. But you can easily get it in Nevada. And people go there to divorce because it's easy to get divorced there. Do you understand? So, and they don't have conditions. You want a divorce, come. Gamble and divorce. You want to marry, come. Gamble and marry. Now, with full pride, we stand and say, Islam, a non-Muslim wife and a Muslim husband are allowed, a non-Muslim woman and a Muslim man are allowed to marry, and the rights of the Muslim, of the non-Muslim woman is protected. Is protected by verse 5, chapter
5.
Okay. To tell you, to show you how Islam was really a blessing, do you know the caste system?
Yeah, the Hindu caste system.
The caste system in the Persian Empire before the Persians.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They were people created from where? Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question about the non-Muslim. Mm-hmm. Wait, so if a Muslim man marries a non-Muslim woman, doesn't he have to convert her to Muslim?
Absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
okay. That's what usually happens.
Huh?
If a Muslim man marries a non-Muslim, the non-Muslim is most likely to take you one at a time.
Yes.
So it was like I have a question like Selena's, but if a Muslim guy marries a non-Muslim girl, what about the children? Do they get to choose their religion?
Yeah. Like what's the children will be affected by both parents. So there is no guarantee. You choose to have a non-Muslim wife, okay, there's no guarantee that the children are going to be Muslims. And it's your choice.
Can a Muslim girl marry a non-Muslim guy?
No. Why? Why? Because Christianity does not allow a Muslim, a Christian guy to marry a Muslim woman.
But what about the other religions of like Jewish?
Same thing. Why is that? Because again, the man of the house has advantages over the woman of the house. And go hold on. And there is no protection. You have to understand that Christianity does not protect the Muslim wife marrying Christian guy. There's no protection. Actually, they are against this kind of marriage. So they don't accept this kind of marriage. And if you do, the Muslim wife will have no rights.
Huh? What, isn't it better for marrying a Muslim woman?
Of course. of course, it's your opinion. However, you don't have to. How about you? You had a question.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, if they have children, like, they won't be, like, Muslims, right?
Yeah. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. It's a risk. It's a risk. And you have to accept that risk. Huh?
How do people get married anyway? Like, how do you even get to know somebody?
Then you guys spend like a year talking, getting to know them, and then you
don't even meet that person before you get married.
I am not going
to. Okay, the caste system. Back to the caste system, girls. Girls, back to the caste system. The caste system says that there are people created from the foot of God, others are created from the thigh of God, and other characteristics from the hands of God and from the head of God. The ones who are created from the head of God are the emperors and the ruling class. And the people who are created from the arms of God are the soldiers. And the people who are created from the legs, same thing was in India too. And the ones that are created from the thigh of God are professionals. Professionals like carpenters, like, you know. And the one who are created from the foot of God are slaves. You're born in your caste and you cannot get out of it. You understand? You're born into caste and you're... So when Islam came, it liberated the people from this. It liberated the people from the caste system completely. So everybody was equal. There's no foot and there's no head. And this is why when the Muslims were going into the war to liberate the Persian Empire, the leader of the army said, "What do you guys want? Coming to invade us, what do you want? Can I give you just like $2 everybody and one dress and go back?" They said, "No, we're here to liberate the people from the worship of each other to the worship of Allah." And then he said, you miserable Persian people, you slave one another. You slave each other. You slave one another. Okay? So this is why when Islam came to Persia, people were so impressed and wow, that Islam has to offer this. So people came to Islam through this. Okay, do we have a caste system today?
No.
Yes.
No, we don't. Fully.
Yes, we do.
What?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, presidents.
There is the first world, the second world, and the third world.
What's that?
First world is the United States and Europe. Second world are like China and some of these developing countries. And then the third world are like Pakistan, Egypt. And these are third world. So, now, are you stuck in your caste? Are you stuck in your caste?
No.
You have to get an immigration. If you get an immigration visa or you're born here, then you get out of the caste, which is third world. We're all third world. By immigration, we became first world, right?
Yes.
First world people, all right? You got that? But the caste system exists today. However, you can get out of your caste, unlike the caste system before. You can't work. You can't get out of your caste. Final thing, Quran. Quran, ayah 2, verse 190. Quran, ayah 2, verse 190. It says what? Yeah. Quran, verse 2, chapter 2, 190. I wanted an English one, but anyway. Okay. What verse 2, number 190 say? 290 or 190? It's 190. She's going to tell us. Huh? Where's Quran?
Oh, you want like the
Juz'amma? Not Juz'amma, no. No.
Sorry.
Okay. The ayah. English, so that you can read it. The ayah says, listen clearly. The ayah says, and fight for the cause of Allah those who fight you, and don't transgress. Don't go beyond that. For if you go beyond that, you are unfair. You are committing injustice. You are committing something that Allah doesn't like. So, you understand? Fight for the sake of Allah those who fight you. And don't transgress beyond that. There is also the... I one time One time I was asked by a journalist, go ahead.
Do you want me to go get it from?
No, that's fine. One time I was asked by a journalist, she came to the Islamic Center and she said, okay, tell me about Saddam Hussein, tell me about Bin Laden, tell me about Saddam Hussein. Bin Laden. Guess what was my answer? What was my answer? I told her, no, in the masjid you come to ask me about the pillars of Islam, about the pillars of faith, about prayers, about the charity, but Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden are made by the CIA. Who made Saddam Hussein? The CIA, to fight Iran. Who made Bin Laden? The CIA, to fight the Russian people, to fight the Soviet Union. So they were made by CIA. So if you want to know about Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, don't go to the masjid. You go where?
CIA.
CIA. You ask them. He was the president of Iraq, and he was arrested by the during the last Iraq war. He was captured, and he was executed. He was killed. Now, there is a verse in the Quran that says, and kill them wherever you find them. And they say, look, Islam says, and kill them wherever you find them. The answer is, finish the rest of the ayah. You know what's the rest of the ayah? And kill them wherever you find them, and drive them out of the land they drove you out of. Huh? So means what? We're fighting them because what? They drove us out of our land. Yes. So fight those. Yeah. Final point before we finish. Final point. In order for someone... No. Just 2 minutes. In order for... Hold on. In order for somebody to declare a war, he has to be a president, declaring in the name of his own people. If declaring a war by the name of Islam is not, Bin Laden doesn't have the right to declare a war in the name of Islam. Why? Because he doesn't represent me. Does he represent you?
Yes.
Do we agree? Do we represent?
No.
Okay, so he declares war in his name and the name of his organization, not in our name.
Right.
Okay, there was a joke about somebody was saying that, an American jerk guy was saying that, okay, if you're traveling and you walk into the airplane, say, Muhammad! If somebody said yes, get out and take the next flight.
Funny.
Get out and take the next flight.
That's a good joke.
He said, when you are traveling, you board the airplane, say, Muhammad! If something says yes, if someone says yes, then get out of the plane and take the next flight.
Why?
You don't get it because they're going to...
It's a terrorist.
Terrorist.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
no, it's a joke.
Okay,
it's
really
mean.
What?
It's a joke. All right.
Wrong.
You're the one who talked to me yesterday?
No. You called my parents and they didn't catch it.